First of all, thanks for taking the time to visit with us this morning. I know you're a super busy guy. There's an awful lot on your plate. There are some pretty staggering numbers when we look at the figures about the number of Americans that will be involved in some form of heart disease issues in the coming years. That's a little bit frightening. And then when we start talking about how this is all going to get paid for, that becomes even more frightening, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So, you know, cardiovascular disease and stroke together have been the number one cause of death in the U.S. for quite some time. Now, we're doing better all the time, but we still remain at the top of the heap. That's not our goal. We're working as hard as we can to reduce the burden of cardiovascular disease and stroke, and it does have a tremendous cost to our society, for sure.
Well, and it's not only a financial cost. There's a cost of downtime. There's a cost of how it affects the family members, et cetera, et cetera. It isn't just the actual open wallet cost of the disease itself or the ramifications of the disease, but it really gets into other issues as well, and that's a whole other topic, and I realize that. But there are some things. There's been so much talk after the presidential election back in November about repealing Obamacare. There's so much talk about the do's and don'ts and the pluses and minuses of this. All of this plays into, and you as a doctor certainly know this, and that's why your expertise comes into play with this. This is not something that we can just switch on and off like a light switch. There's some pretty intense considerations that go along with any kind of changes to the setup on our healthcare system.
I think I might have lost you.
I'm right here. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yay. Yeah,
so, I mean, over the last decade, I would say one of the strengths of the Affordable Care Act has been that more people have obtained coverage. So we went from about 50 million uninsured to less than half of that. And I think that's really good. People that can have insurance have a better chance of controlling their health and their risks. So we're all looking to see how the new legislation deals with that and other things that likely need to be fixed. So we sit back and we watch and hope for the best, right? It's very difficult, that much we all know, right? Very difficult.
Very difficult. Well, and I think one of the things that so many people are afraid of, and this situation with Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, if that's some people prefer to call it that, the whole health insurance / medical care situation has become so politicized since the advent of Obamacare, and it's beginning to get so difficult to separate politics from practically anything else. But once again, I think one of the things that people are scared about is, as you pointed out, the Affordable Care Act did allow a huge number of people to provide themselves with adequate health care that they had not been available to before, and just pulling the plug on something like this would reverse that in many people's opinions. And so there's, as you know, going on about how this is done effectively without literally just pulling the plug on those 50 million people.
So one of the things that I talk about with people with respect to cardiovascular disease is that for most people, cardiovascular disease is a preventable disease. So we know what folks need to do, and sometimes they need some simple blood pressure medication, or they need something to help them control their cholesterol. And in order for them to know that, they have to have access to care, obviously. And if they do, there are some low-cost treatments that are available to them that really can reduce their risk and reduce event rates. So that's why we want so much for people to have access to regular care so that these known risk factors can be evaluated and, if need be, treated so that people can live healthier lives. We can all be healthier.
Sure. And one of the things that is, and I know you as a doctor have probably probably said these words over and over and over again in your career as a physician and as a surgeon. Prevention is better than cure. If we can, like you say, if we can take care of some of these low-cost preventative measures to avoid getting into a cardiovascular situation that involves surgery or involves long hospital stays, it doesn't take a mathematical genius to figure out that the low-cost alternative is going to be better for everybody involved as we go forward.
That's exactly right. I mean, if people don't have access to low-cost preventive strategies, then they end up in emergency rooms for very high-cost therapeutics that cost so much more than it would have been to just take care of them in the first place. So I think we know what to do. The question is, how can we all work together in an apolitical structure to really do what's best for the American people and get them the care they need?
Yeah. One of the questions I wanted to ask you while I have you is it's kind of an interesting thought process to me. The United States probably has the highest incidence of heart disease of any country on the planet. Why? I mean, and we sometimes like to pride ourselves on our extremes sometimes. How do we go back to getting healthy? How do we get our I'm not sure that we should take pride in the fact that we have such a high incidence of heart disease and cardiovascular diseases. Is it diet? Is it lack of exercise? It's a combination of all these things. But how do we get off of this this track that we've been on for so many years and get onto a healthier track?
So one of the things that at AHA we talk about is, how can we all work together to build a culture of health? Because, again, we do know what to do. If we would eat a little bit better, if we would exercise a little bit more, if we would take care of our blood pressure, if we would not smoke, if we would do the simple things that we sort of all know that we should be doing, we really can improve our health. And we can, just as importantly, we can reduce the risk of some adverse event that none of us want to have a heart attack or a stroke.
We just spoke just a few moments ago about the low-cost things financially that can be done to help prevent a larger cost issue. This kind of goes back into the same thing with how we take care of our health. A few minor changes to diet, a few minor changes to exercise, a few minor changes to lifestyle. Minor changes wind up being major changes when we combine them all together, and a longer life and a healthier life, and it's just hard to get that through our thick head sometimes, isn't it?
So if people Google Life's Simple Seven, they'll be directed to an AHA website that will tell them seven simple things that they can do that, if they do them and get these things under control, they'll markedly reduce their risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke. And there are things we've already been talking about. It's eating well, controlling your glucose, controlling your cholesterol, your blood pressure, don't smoke, exercise a bit, and you really will be a healthier person. But it's difficult for all of us.
Yeah, it is difficult for all of us. We get ourselves into habits, and we don't like to break those kind of habits. Listen, I know you're very busy, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to stop and visit with us this morning. I want to first of all thank you for that. Secondly, I think sometimes that organizations like the American Heart Association don't get enough credit for the work that they do on behalf of all of us. And so I wanted to take a little moment to thank you and the American Heart Association for the work that is done. This is demanding work, and those of you who have involved yourself in that, a lot of times you're obviously a doctor and a surgeon, and there are other things that you could be doing. This is important enough to you that you take this on, and so I think that a lot of people need to be made aware of the fact that this is important work, and that you're not doing this just because it was something you decided one day to do. This has been a lifelong project for you as a physician and as a surgeon, and so you take it very seriously, and it's important to us who I think it's important for all of us to show some kind of appreciation for the work that you and the rest of the staff at the American Heart Association have done over the years. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you very much. Those are very kind words. And we'll continue to work hard to do our best to help people lead healthier, longer, more productive lives.
That sounds like a good place to stop it right there, Dr. Stephen Houser.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.